So I was at Nanoose Bay Camp, as I said, and it was fun. Hey, there's a few Nanoosers here now. We had a really good time at Nanoose Bay Camp. It's kind of funny being a camp speaker, especially when I know a lot of the students there, both from my time in Victoria and my time here, because the whole goal of camp, the whole goal of spending a week long of just having some fun, but also sitting in services and praying with your friends, is that people would have a life-changing experience, that their heart would be shaped, that God would impact them, that they would know the love of Jesus in their life and experience His fullness. That's one of the goals of camp. And so I play a key role in that, as I was the preacher at the camp. And so it's a kind of crazy thing, because I can't change a life. I can't change a heart. I can't make a heart know Jesus. I can't convince enough that all of a sudden someone says, okay, now I know the grace of God. God has to work. His Holy Spirit has to move. And so it's a challenging role for me. It was a kind of a daunting task, but we saw some really special things. We saw some really neat things, which I'll share in a second about a couple of the people at camp. The second to last night was probably my favorite night. And it was when I really felt God say to me, Evan, I have a word for every person in this room that would soften their heart towards me. I want to say something to every person in this room. I care about the life of every person in this room, but I'm not going to give you the words for every person in this room. I'm going to fill the mouths of everyone else. I'm going to allow everyone else to speak. And so we had this night where we put together a bunch of all the cabins and all the teams, and everyone sat with their friend circles and things. And we just started to say, you listen to God for each other and speak to each other and share and talk about what that would look like. And everyone was crying. They were crying as much as when Daniel Eliason preaches here, actually. Hey? I heard Daniel did a great job for us. Hey? Are you happy that he came? Everyone said there was not a dry eye in the place. Everyone was so moved. I'm thinking, I've never had that happen for me at the church. Yeah. No, he did. I'm so glad that he was able to come and be part of our church with us. But it's amazing when God moves, hey? It's amazing when God starts to stir a heart and starts to change someone. The theme for Nanoose Bay Camp this year was all in, all out. All in for Jesus and go all out for Jesus. And so we started talking about that, and it was that second last night that I felt like some things really broke. And then the last night we got to share some testimonies, and people just came up and started talking about how they've made some decisions now to be all in, how they had chosen a plan B for their life, but now they wanted to come back to plan A, where God had originally called them and had originally planted dreams in their heart. So we had a guy like Zach. Zach, actually, the missions partners that we have in Thailand that are going to Thailand, Zach and Megan, were there. And they talked a little bit, and there was this young guy, grade 11 guy named Zach. And he said, Evan, I really need to talk to them. And he was looking for them for a couple days because he wanted to say something to Zach and Megan, these missionaries. And so this young grade 11 boy, as these guys were talking, felt like God had said that he should give them $200. $200 for a grade 11. I'm thinking, wow, that's, you know, 20 seems like, you know. But anyways, he's like, I'm going to do $200. And he goes, I wasn't sure about it at first. And then all of a sudden, Zach talked about his high school when he was younger. And 200 people came to know Jesus while he was in his high school. And so Zach was like, that's it, $200. And he goes, but God said I wasn't done with that. Because God didn't want me just to give $200. He wanted me to support them with $200 per month. Wow. This grade 11 kid, he's now committed to giving them $200 a month so that their passion for Thailand, their mission in Thailand, can happen. It's just crazy. I said, Zach, that's amazing. Like, what does that mean? Like, have you always liked giving? He goes, well, I tithe. He said, I tithe to my local church. I said, okay, so what's happening with that now? He goes, oh yeah, I still am going to tithe to my church. I'm still going to do my 10% to my church, but I'm going to give $200 a month this Thailand mission. The guy is grade 11. I was just amazed by that. He just got a regular grade 11 job. Then there's Darian. Darian actually switched out of a private school to go to a public school because he felt like God was asking him to. He played football at that public school, and he thought, okay, when I go to this school, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to introduce my football team to Jesus. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have some fun. And he said, I kind of stopped having that passion. I stopped pursuing that all that much, and I'm not sure if I really did as much as I wished I could have done. And so he said, at camp, I got challenged, and I got changed, and now I'm going all in. He actually said, it's game time now. And so he says, I'm going back to my school, and he's going to start a youth alpha at this school where he's going to introduce people to the gospel and to Jesus and let people see that. And Belmont is a hard school. I know Belmont, and it wasn't a super easy school. And he says, I'm going, and it's going to happen. And so we prayed for his school. There's a girl named Andrea. Andrea said, I've always been a Christian girl. I've come from a Christian family. But then I started to get this reputation at school of being the good Christian girl. And everyone would say, Andrea, she's no fun. She doesn't want to do that. She's the good Christian girl. So she said, so I fought back against that this year, and I just threw all that out. I didn't live anything like what Jesus would want me to live. I just partied. I just did whatever. I did things that I wasn't proud of, and I just didn't really care anymore. And I came back to camp and realized I had given up a lot, that I had. You know, there was a lot of things that I wished I had done differently this year, but God met me with his grace, and now he's called me back, and she came to me and said, but I want to know, because I think God has told you, how should I go all in? Well, we talked about that for a while and said, you know, what would it look like? What are your friends thinking and things? And she decided there was one friend that she said, I think this person needs Jesus in their life, and I think they would receive him in their life, but I'm just so scared to talk to her, and I'm not sure about it. And we said, that's your all-in. So she has committed now to talking to that person, and she said, and I want to talk to my parents because I think I need to go to Bible school next year. And that was an intimidating thing for her to do too, but she says, I'm all in. I'm going for it. A guy named Lucas. Lucas came up, and he has scholarships for football to UBC in Vancouver. He's got sort of his football career lined up, or at least his college career lined up. And he's got the scholarships. He's always lived in a football family. His dad has always said, you got to play football. That's who you are. That's who we are. We're football players. And so he planned on doing that. And that was the direction that he was going to go. But then he felt like God said to him, Lucas, I don't actually want you playing football. I want you to be a pastor. And so he said, that doesn't even make sense. I don't even know what that means. But he came to camp. He actually has now canceled his football scholarships. He's not going to UBC. He's actually going to Bible college to become a pastor. Crazy that he would do that. It's so wild that he would go all in like that, because this just makes sense, right? You're good at football, you've got the scholarships, it's just, you just go for it. But God doesn't always make sense in these lives, and these guys were deciding, we're going to go all in. A girl named Sadie. Sadie, the week before camp, had been contemplating and had been making plans for suicide. She had been bouncing around the foster care system for the last year. Her parents, when she came to a point where both of her parents said outright to her, we don't want you. We don't want you anymore. And so she's a grade 9 girl and experienced that at that age. Her parents saying, we just don't want you anymore. So then she ended up in the foster care system. She jumped around there, ended up with some foster parents that weren't actually the best. They're kind of absent. She started having parties, having way older guys around. They started, she got into lots of bad things, and she said, this is it. I don't have anything left. I'm just gonna end it all. Well, it turned out she ended up coming to camp, and she gave this testimony where her whole cabin was just crying and broken, because she talked about how Jesus had met her, had changed her life, had something new was going on, something exciting that she was experiencing that she couldn't hardly explain. But she's actually now committed to changing schools from where she had been bullied and where she had a reputation. She's changing schools, and she says, I believe God is giving me a new mission field, and I'm going to go and share Jesus with my new school. Isn't that amazing? That amazing? That's Sadie. Last one, there's this guy named Noah. And Noah is this well-known guy at camp. He's always been really loud and just exciting kind of guy. And he played baseball all through high school. He dreamt of playing baseball. That was his dream forever. And so he at some point, a few years back at camp, had decided, you know what, I think God's actually asking me to give up baseball and jump into ministry. And by the way, sports are good. They're fine. Some people are going to walk that route, but some people are called elsewhere. And so he had felt like, I think I need to be doing something else, but he didn't want it. He actually said at camp, I didn't want it because then I'd have to make less money, and also I'd have to hang out with youth. yeah, that's true. Anyways, so he decided, no, I got to give, I don't want to do that. So he pursued all these different baseball options, trying to get something. For years he did this. It didn't work out. So eventually he said, I'll just become a barber. He went to barber school. He's been a barber right now. He came to camp as a barber and as a counselor. At camp, God said, hey, I gave you a plan A. You need to get rid of your plan B. Your plan A for years now has been to be in youth ministry, and I want you to get going to Bible school and get trained up. And so he threw out plan B. He's enrolled now at Bible school, and he's going to become a pastor. Noah. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that amazing? People going all in. The funny thing about camp, though, is that it starts and everyone's sort of uncomfortable when they show up at camp. You don't know everyone. You don't know exactly who the speaker is, what's going to happen. You're kind of all a little bit timid and not sure about if you want to actually go all in or pursue Jesus or see where that could take you in your life. There's a little bit of discomfort when you show up, a little bit of settling in and figuring things out. And as the week goes on, people become more comfortable and start to be comfortable in their cabins and with their friends. And at that point, in the place of comfort, sometimes our hearts open up that we can see God in new ways, that Jesus can enter our lives in new ways, and we can experience the Holy Spirit in new ways when we're comfortable and we open up our hearts. And so it's funny to watch these people go from discomfort, get comfortable. As they get comfortable, Jesus seems to shape them and change them and grow their hearts. And then from that place, Jesus says, okay, it's time to stop being comfortable. It's time to move on out of your comfort zone. Isn't that funny how God works? He says, come and be, let me welcome you into comfort, but once you know me, you can't stay there. You can't just figure out how to be comfortable in life and how to just, you know, not ruffle any feathers and create a nice safe space and not step out and not move forward. All of these people, these weren't easy decisions. I'll give up football or give up baseball or I need to commit to maybe losing my reputation at school by talking about Jesus in my school. None of that's easy. All of that is stepping out of your comfort zone, but I believe that God often welcomes the outsider, comforts the outsider, welcomes them to join. And then when we, as disciples of Jesus, are following him, he says, now get out of your comfort zone and go reach new people. Sometimes we think that our role at church is to comfort Christians. Make sure that we're all okay, make sure that we're happy, make sure the preacher preaches the exact right thing so we're going to be good, and make sure that we don't invite too many people who aren't really us because that may throw things off, and you know, make sure that we're comfortable and happy. And I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see Jesus saying, Christian, make sure that you're comfortable in life. I see Jesus saying, you are going to be able to comfort the brokenhearted. You're going to be able to comfort the lost. You're going to be able to comfort those who are far from me. But you won't be able to do it from your comfort zone most of the time. You're going to have to step out of it. You're going to have to move beyond it. In Matthew 8, 18 to 20, there's this guy who wants to follow Jesus. It says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then the teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. This guy is doing what a normal person would do at that time. See someone that's got something they want. Look at how well he teaches the Bible. Look at all the people that follow him. Look at how he impacts life. I just want to follow him. I want to go and be like him. I want to learn from him and grow from him. That's what I'm going to do. And so he says, hey, teacher, Jesus, I just want to follow you around. Can I just come with you wherever you go? Can you show me how to live my life? Can you show me how to reach people like you do and how to teach like you do? I just want to go and do what you're doing. Can I do that with you? And Jesus' response is this. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He says, foxes have more comfortable homes than I have. Birds have more comfortable beds than I have. I'm wandering around. I don't have the comforts of this world. Jesus, as soon as he committed to mission, because he started in a house and in a community with family, we don't know a whole lot about his life, but we can assume that his family, when he was 12, they still cared about him, and so they probably had a home that he lived in and normal comforts of life. But when he was 30 years old, he said, now it's time to start my mission. As soon as he started his mission, he popped his comfort zone. Popped his comfort bubble and said, now I don't even have a home. He left his house and said, I don't even have a home. I don't have a place to lay down my head. Foxes have it better than me and birds have it better than me. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm out of what's safe and what's secure and what's normal and what I'm used to. I'm outside of that I might be able to reach people in their comfort zone. It's difficult to meet people in their comfort zone. Until you leave theirs, until you leave yours. Until you leave your comfort zone, it's hard to reach people in their comfort zone. If Christians are most comfortable just with Christians, how are we going to reach anyone else? Except to stretch outside of our comfort zone. If church is most comfortable when it just looks very like what it always has so that we can just feel good and we can always have the same seat, we can always sit with the same people. If that's what church is going to be for us, we won't reach people or comfort those who are coming in. We'll just sit in our little comfortable circles on our own. We won't reach anyone new. In Luke 19, 1-10, Jesus shows us what it's like to walk into someone else's comfort zone and how that can impact their life. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So you get this picture of what's going on. Jesus has a bunch of people who've been following him for a while. They've wanted to see what he's up to. They like what he's doing. They're kind of interested in what's going on with him. They think that he's got a good thing. He's healing, he's helping, he's serving, he's reaching the lost, he's reaching the broken. Jesus is doing that, and they start to get this crowd around Jesus. They're all looking to Jesus, and because of that, Zacchaeus can't figure out how to get in. He can't figure it out. I'm too short. I've got some limitations. I can't even get to Jesus. If I want to see him, I'm going to have to work for it. I'm going to have to try to get up a tree and climb this tree. And I'm a rich guy, and this is going to be a bit foolish for me. I'm going to be out of my comfort zone. I'm going to have to stretch myself, but I need to go and see who this Jesus is. I wonder how hard it is for people to work to get to Jesus. In our community. Sometimes when we're just in church, we forget that we want to help other people find Jesus. We want to help them easily enter a place where they can start a relationship with the one that we feel we know has changed our life. How hard is it for people to get through the crowd? Are we all looking at Jesus and blocking this out and making sure we're comfortable? Or are we opening up the door and saying, get in? Are we breaking the crowd and saying, there's space for you? We'd like to see you enter here. Come on in. And Zacchaeus has to climb up this tree because all of the people who are looking at Jesus are blocking him out. And then Jesus does what is shocking to everyone. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Jesus said, excuse me, there's a there's a guy over here. I need to get, excuse me. You're not going to let him in? Okay, excuse me. I just need to get to him. Excuse me. And he's moving out of the way. All the most religious people, all the strongest Jesus followers, we can assume because they're there. He's moving them out of the way so he can get to that one who's just trying to get a glimpse, who's just trying to see, who's just interested in having a look. Jesus starts moving people aside and saying, I need to get to him. And then when Jesus gets there, he looks up at Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, here's all the rules of Christianity. Do you want to follow them or not? Says, Zacchaeus, we have a church service. It won't feel really weird for you. You're not going to really like it. It's going to be really different. It probably won't want to come, but do you want to come? Now Jesus says, Zacchaeus, do you have a house? You have food? Because I have nowhere to stay. Foxes have better houses than me. I have nowhere to sleep, Zacchaeus. Birds have better beds than me. I'm already out of my comfort zone. I've figured out how, if when I'm out here, that I can enter yours a lot easier. And so, Zacchaeus, will you take me to your comfort zone? Will you take me to the place that feels comfortable to you? Because in that place, I'm going to show you myself and your life will be forever changed. So he says, can I go to your house? Zacchaeus says, yeah, come on over. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus is sitting at the table. Dinner is going on. Jesus has come over to his house, and now Zacchaeus stands up and says, my life has been changed. You're right. Here in my house, not in your, here in my house, not in some foreign place. Here in my house, Jesus has entered. He's welcomed himself in. He's come and he's eating dinner with me, and I need to tell you, when I see him and when I recognize him, when I look at him, I can't be the same anymore. My life is different. Who I am, it can't exist in the same way. What I've believed, I can't believe in the same way. Who I've stolen from, I can't keep stealing from. Something has changed here in my life. And Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. Those who didn't know him. See, Zacchaeus doesn't stay in his comfort zone. Isn't that interesting? Jesus meets him first in his comfort zone. But then salvation comes to Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus decides, it's time for me to change my life. It's not going to be easy for me to give up money. It's not going to be easy for me to tell all these people who have sinned against for a long time that I was wrong. It's not going to be easy for me to have less of what I've had, even though I've stolen it in the past. It's not going to be easy for me to do this. In fact, it's going to be pretty uncomfortable to go to people and tell them how wrong I have been when I've told them I've been right all along. This is going to be a very uncomfortable moment for me, but it is worth it because in the comfort of my own home, Jesus came in and my life has been forever changed. So I'm going to move into a new life. And Jesus does this all through Scripture. Matthew, one of his own disciples, he walks up to him and says, Matthew, would you like to follow me? Matthew was a tax collector. He's a sinner. In fact, he's sitting at the booth getting people's money from them. And Jesus says, would you like to follow me? And Matthew says, yeah, sure, where? And Jesus says, you pick the place. They go to Matthew's house. They're partying with these other Pharisees and everyone, or with these other tax collectors, other sinners. And all these Pharisees are outside saying, why is he doing that? He's in the wrong people's house. Doesn't he know who he's with? Doesn't he know what's going on there? Doesn't he know what's happening in their life? And Matthew eventually follows Jesus because he meets Jesus, he meets Matthew first where Matthew is comfortable. Amazing how that works. Amazing how God moves in that way. Worship team, you can come and join me. A few years back, I was in Crimea on a missions trip. And Crimea is it's changed a little bit now, but it was called the Jewel of jewel in two countries' crowns. It was Ukrainian, but Russian, and communism had. Anyways, it was a bit of a challenging place to be. And so we went to this one village one time. We were having this Canada versus the Ukraine game, a soccer game. Canada were the adults, the Ukraine were the kids, and the kids destroyed the Canadians. And while we were in this village, there's this one guy who shows up. He's a big, burly Ukrainian guy, and he came in, and he was drunk, quite drunk. But he decided he was going to be the coach of these kids because it was his village playing us Canadians. And so he's yelling from the side. We have no idea what he's yelling from the side. And he's taking it real serious. He thinks he's coaching, he's really coaching soccer here. And he's just going for it. They end up beating us. He gets a team photo with them. All these things. He's making everyone feel a little bit uncomfortable, including the missionaries that we were with, or the people, the pastors there that we were with. And then we had this one guy on our team. And he was a bit rough around the edges himself. He gets it. And these two start sitting down and they're talking with each other. And the guy on our team gives him his wallet. It's a Harley Davidson wallet. Gives it to him. And they're chatting through a translator. And this guy starts telling his story and letting him know all the things that's gone on in his life. And we eventually find out that he used to be part of the army. The army kicked him out because of alcohol and drug use. He just lived this pretty hard life. Talked about some of the battles that he was a part of. He was clearly had some post-traumatic stress disorder. He was in rough shape. And soon the guy on our team, our friend, he says, "Hey, I need to go to this guy's house." And we're like, "What? Why?" "Oh, he wants to show me his guns." We're like, that doesn't sound like the best idea for us. I'm not sure if that works. He goes, "Listen, if I don't go to his house, he's going to know that I was just here, I was just putting on a front. If I go to his house, he's going to think that I care about him. He's going to know that I'm invested in him. I care for him. And so can we just go?" And so we eventually say the leader. There was a different guy leading the trip. He goes, "Okay, just go to his house. Let's go quick and things." And so we start walking. There's two of us and our friend, and then our new friend. And our new friend he's stumbling still, and he keeps looking back and saying, "Security, security," about me and the leader of the trip. Because he's mocking us, feeling like, what are you guys doing here? Why are you coming with me? I'm with my new friend. And so I didn't know what was going to happen on this trip. We walked through this big field. Eventually, I don't even know how to get back to where we were. We wander all the way to this house. I can't speak to anyone. The language barrier is all still there. And they end up going into his house, and we wait outside of his house. And he shows them his guns. Shows him some of his medals, too, that he had earned. He gives him a gift. I don't know what happened in that guy's life. I don't know where it all ended up. I'm not sure if he decided I better give my life to Jesus or not, but I do know that it took a whole lot of pulling out of our comfort zone to allow this guy to open up in a new and special way to our friend. I don't know how Jesus is going to work in every situation. I don't know what every heart requires. But I do know that we as a church need to figure out ways to allow those who aren't connected to church and aren't connected to Jesus to find an easy inroad to be part of this with us. Not because Christianity is easy. Not because it's just no problem, you just come in and then it's going to be good, but because we believe that if all they would do is if they could just catch a vision of who Jesus is, if they could just know his power, if they could just be filled with the Holy Spirit, if they could just have that, we know that they would be pushing out of their comfort zones If we believed that, then it wouldn't matter. We wouldn't be so concerned about, well, we have to make sure this is done every Sunday. We need to make sure that it looks this way and it feels this way. And the reason is because it's always looked this way and it's always felt this way. We need to be able to stretch ourselves and say, as a church, can we get out of our comfort zone and do things a little bit different, try things new, so that those who don't know Jesus, those who are far from Him, might have an easy inroad towards Him. Because we believe that when they find Him, when He finds them, that their lives will be changed forever, for eternity. We're going to do something for 4 weeks through August, and then one in September, 4 weeks total. We're going to try something new as a church, and I think it may stretch us a little bit. It may be something that we're not used to, we haven't tried before. I want to try new things to reach new people. I want to try new things so that more people can come to know Jesus and be part of this with us. In August, we're going to decorate our lobby. It's going to be decorated like a movie theater. We'll be serving popcorn. We'll probably do slushies or something, maybe M&Ms. Who doesn't like M&Ms in their popcorn? We have a backdrop for Finding Dory and a couple other things from theaters, and we're going to have some fun in our lobby. People are going to come in. It'll feel a little bit like a theater when they come in. A theater which everyone is comfortable with, a theater which everyone knows. And then in our services, we'll still do some worship, we'll still do some, you know, our tithing and our announcements and things like that. But then we're going to show a movie. Chunks of a movie, and then I'm going to come up and preach about that movie. I'm going to talk about how we can see the gospel in our culture, how we can see the gospel in the movies that we watch, how we can see the gospel working in the places that everyone else is comfortable with. We can see how Jesus is glorified or can be recognized even in the creative places, even in places that weren't even trying to glorify Jesus. We can see the story of the gospel. Because it's everywhere. And we're going to do that, and we're going to pray and hope that we get your neighbors here, your co-workers here, your friends here that don't know Jesus. We call it Summer at the Movies. And you can invite your neighbors or co-workers or friends or family and say, hey, I haven't invited you to church in the past, but do you want to come to Summer at the Movies? Or we play some of a movie and we just talk about it. You can have some popcorn. I mean, people are going to say, oh, that sounds nice. And you may be, sometimes we get concerned, well, is there, I don't know how, if that's deep enough. Reality is we want to help people get on the on-ramp. We want to help people get into faith. We want to help people get started with us. And it doesn't mean that right here is the deepest moment of faith every single time we gather on Sunday. In fact, we want to have opportunity for people to come and join us, that we can gain the right to walk with them and journey with them. And disciple them. Jesus didn't walk up to Zacchaeus and say, Zacchaeus, you're up in that tree. Listen, I want to know if you believe everything that's about me. I want to know if you believe in the Trinity. I want to know if you think I'm the Son of God, and if you think my life is going to give you life. I want to know that. And if so, then we can go and talk. He just says, hey, Zacchaeus, can I come over? Can we talk? Can we get to where you're comfortable? And so on Sundays through August, we're going to try to make this place feel comfortable for people who aren't used to church. And I want you to invite people that maybe you were nervous to invite to church. Invite them out that month. Maybe even you're going to feel so committed that you need to stay home from a holiday for 1 week so that you can make sure that person comes to church. I don't know what God might ask you to do. But we're going to run with that. We're going to believe that Jesus is going to be glorified and that the journey will begin between Him and some of our friends and family and co-workers, and that we will see people come to know Jesus and their eternal destiny will be changed. For that, it's worth it. For that, it's worth it to try new things and see what could happen and believe that something could happen. So right now, would you just close your eyes with me for a moment and consider someone. Someone that you think of that maybe doesn't know Jesus and could. Someone who's been on your heart that's walking through something difficult. And you know when you've walked through something difficult, it was helpful to have the church and helpful to have Jesus in your life. Someone who's kind of bored with life, not feeling like they're moving forward or not feeling like they're very excited about where things are at, who needs to know the purpose that Jesus brings. As you consider that person, let's pray for them. Lord, we know that you care about people. God, would you allow us to be creative in how we care for people too? Pray that we wouldn't limit ourselves to only caring for people in one specific way. We get them to church on a Sunday and we make them do the things that we do and then that's it. But Lord, would you allow us to reach beyond our comfort zone? Would you allow us to reach into other people's comfort zone? To identify what makes them feel comfortable, to identify what causes them to feel okay about things. And Lord, would you allow us to believe that you want to start relationships with people, that you want to give them purpose, that you want to speak into their lives, that you want to give them new life for now and for eternity. God, would you allow our hearts to break for what breaks yours? What breaks yours is when people don't know you. Help us to do whatever it takes to give people an opportunity to know you. And Jesus, I pray that the people that are on our hearts right now, that we would invite them. Doesn't mean we're going to get a yes, but that we would invite them to be part of our summer at the movie series. Maybe as a start of a great thing for them in this church and in their faith with you. Help us to invite them, Lord. And God, for those today who don't know you, maybe they're on the other side of this. They've come here and they've come to church and they're not sure what this is all about and they're not exactly sure what to do with this. Jesus, today I pray that you would speak to their hearts so they might know who you are. Know that you care for them. Know that you want to give them life. Know that you want them to walk in the fullness of God. Know that they can leave behind the life they've been living and leave behind the stuff that they've tried to use to fulfill themselves, and they might find you, Jesus. Today I pray that they would know you and they would be excited about inviting more people into that journey that they know. Help us to find you, Lord. Help us to do what you've called us to do. Help us to lead people to Jesus Christ. Help us to point to Jesus in every creative act that we do, every effort that we make. I just pray that we would make them all so that more people would know you and know the life that you do give and know the hope that you do give and know the peace that you do give and know the joy that you do give. Help us, Lord, as we do it. Help us to be creative. Help us to dream big. God, bring people to you. We want it. We believe for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.